Well, we know what that music is. That means it is Thursday at 4 p.m. and it is Everything Under the Sun. Brought to you weekly by the Soper Sun newspaper here in lovely Carbondelet. Let's just go around and introduce ourselves. We have a couple special guests in the studio today, plus a couple of students from the Soper Sun Youth Journalism Program. You want to start out, Yesenia?
Hi, I'm Yesenia Benavides, a student in the youth journalism program. Gus's turn.
Hey, I'm Gus Richardson. I am also a student in the youth journalism program, and I'm very happy to be here.
Very cool. James, are you introducing yourself?
I will introduce myself. This is James Steinler, contributing editor for the Soper Sun. Really excited for today's show. We have two employees, the executive director as well as another employee with Mountain Developmental Services to talk about the great work that they're doing down there in Glenwood Springs, but also throughout the valley. So looking forward to chatting about that today. You can also find a story by Jeannie Soldern on page 12. Let's go ahead and introduce our guests. Sarah, if you'd like to start.
Sure. Thank you for having us. My name is Sarah Sims. I'm the executive director at Mountain Valley Developmental Services.
Hi, my name is Hollis Vanderlinden. I'm the greenhouse manager at Mountain Valley.
Okay. And I need to start out by saying that in our printed edition of the paper, there will be a correction in next week's paper, but I messed up on the name of the organization, kind of one of those important things. It is Mountain Valley Developmental Services. I put development, lost a couple letters there along the way, but
you know, I can't let you accept all of that blame, because Mountain Valley Developmental Services is so well known. Your two editors should have caught that as well.
Okay. All right, I'll share some of the load on that one. So, Sarah, do you want to talk a little bit? I mean, I mentioned it in the article itself that you're in your 51st year, and talk a little bit, tiny bit about the history.
Sure. I can talk about who we are, what we do, and where we came from.
Yeah.
So Mountain Valley Developmental Services was started in 1973 by a group of parents of children who had developmental disabilities. And those children were preparing to go into the public schools, and the parents were seeking support for those children to help them gain a little bit more in their developmental milestones to better prepare them for that school setting. From there, we became a community center board, which allowed us to access funds from the state, and then we continue to grow and expand our children's program, which provided early intervention services, similar to what we do now, but just to a lesser degree. And from there, we started supporting adults who were living in the community by providing them work opportunities and recreation opportunities. And enrichment opportunities that evolved into us purchasing several homes in the communities where we serve. And that allowed people to live in the community. Some people also came out of institutions, and so they had their first experience of really living with neighbors and people in typical home environments and accessing the outdoors and the community and all the things that our communities have to offer. Through the years, we've evolved and we've grown. We currently serve four counties. We serve Lake, Garfield, Pickens, and Eagle counties. We provide case management. We provide residential supports and services, medical assistance, transportation. We provide employment opportunities in two of our businesses that we own. So we own what was formerly called Art on 8th, which is now Mountain Valley Weavers, and we also own our Mountain Valley Greenhouse, which Hollis manages for us. Let me see. We continue on with our early intervention services. I know I'm forgetting something
support
with our
employment as well.
Support employment. Thank you, Hollis. We have a great number, I think in the 60, is that what the number was the other day when we were talking? 60 individuals who we support with employment in community jobs. So these are jobs such as any one of us in this room would be interested in working. And so we just assist those people in obtaining the job, honing their skills, learning how to talk to employers, problem solving, all those aspects that we often need help with. So that's one of our bigger programs as well.
Fantastic. Did we get around to introducing Hollis?
Yes.
We did. Okay, cool.
Yeah. Just yeah. No, Hollis Vanderlinden, right?
Yes.
Okay, I got that. Is that, that sounds Dutch to me.
It is.
It is. Okay. I have to tell you, and while a lot of people are very lovely when I go to do interviews, when I went to your offices last week, they are some of the nicest people that I have interviewed in the 5 years that I've been reporting for the Soper Sun. So gracious and welcoming.
Thank you, Jean.
And, I mean, I think that that's probably just a natural for you folks because of the community that you work with. You know, very welcoming, very just kind of happy. You have a happy crew there, so... But I did have to say when we did start in offices and did an interview with some of your staff members, but then we went out to the greenhouse and which Hollis manages. And I have to say that when I was there, I made the comment because I was a little bit tired when we went out there and I made the comment, who needs Red Bull when you have all these plants? I mean, the environment in the greenhouse is awesome. It is uplifting. There was a group of clients there that were dyeing Easter eggs before the holiday, and it just felt good to be out there. So, Hollis, you want to talk about the greenhouse and managing?
Yeah, I'd love to. So, most days of the week, I have between 4 to 8 employees working there, paid employees, who are doing everything from seeding our annual and perennial bedding plants to taking geranium cuttings, repotting, watering, fertilizing. Every aspect of the operation our employees are involved in. And then in May and June, we're selling those annual and perennial bedding plants. We do dandelion days. We do Glenwood Springs Farmers Market, and my employees assist me with those booths as well. And then year-round, we always have house plants and different things that we are taking care of. So it's always very green in there, very colorful. We've always got flowers, and so it is a great environment to work in. And then one day a week, we do provide more like enrichment services out of the greenhouse so that folks who maybe don't want to work or can't work for any reason can also spend time in the greenhouse and benefit from all of that as well. Yeah. So,
you know, Hollis, I think it's important to say that the greenhouse grows our products, our plants, from seed.
Yes.
And I think we're one of the only ones in the area. Is that correct? Who does that?
You know, I'm not sure.
I'm pretty certain we are. We don't get any... any little starters, we get
just
them by
seed.
Just
the poinsettias we do get from rooted cuttings, but everything else
Fantastic.
We grow
mm-hmm.
is from seed.
So you have a huge compost patch there.
Yes, we do. We make all our own compost. We have chickens as well, and then we grow out a lot of our veggies and herbs for sale as well. So pretty much any aspect of growing flowers, veggies, herbs, we do it.
And one of the great things that Hollis has brought to our attention in the last couple of years is, you know, how we can make our greenhouse more accessible to people who have different mobility abilities. Mm-hmm. And so I'd love to have you talk about that.
Sure, yeah. So we're in the midst of renovating one of our greenhouses to make sure that folks using walkers and wheelchairs can access that space as well as anybody else and be able to be as involved in that aspect of growing, because the greenhouse that wasn't so accessible is where we do grow like our tomatoes usually and peppers and things like that. And being able to have folks be involved in the pruning, the harvesting, you know, every aspect of that growing space was really important. And so we are working with a company called Sundew Design Company, and they helped us to design an accessible space in there. And so right now we're in the midst of a build, which we're actually accepting volunteers to help out with that. April 26th and 27th, we'll be doing hopefully our last like big push to finish out the space. But there's going to be 4 to 5 different kinds of raised beds in there with different accessibility features, updated pathways that won't kind of build up gravel in front of those wheels of those mobility aids. And so different features like that that really help for our folks to be able to participate in every aspect of growing.
So if someone is interested in volunteering sometime, mm-hmm. what's the best way for them to do that?
You can email me at hvanderlinden@mountainvalley.org, or you can go to our website and get a message in that way, and I'm sure okay. I'll get it. Okay. Yes.
Okay. Gus, did you have a question?
Yes, I did have a question. So you mentioned earlier that you sell the proceeds from the greenhouse at multiple farmers markets, correct?
Yeah, we do Dandelion Days every year, and we also do Glenwood Springs Farmers Market every week during the summertime.
Okay. And does that money go back into the system and go back into paying all the wages?
Yes, it does. So
that's sick.
Yes.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Great. That's what I thought. I just wanted mm-hmm. to clarify.
Totally.
I have a question as well. How many clients do you guys serve?
So we serve around 600 people in a year, but that's throughout our 4-county area, and that's in all of our programs, from the babies in our early intervention program through out a person's lifespan. I think our numbers in the residential in Garfield County area are around, the adults that we support are around 125 people. And then we have around 350 babies.
Wow.
I want to hear more about the babies. How do they?
Excellent.
Can you tell us more about the babies?
Absolutely. So we work with the Colorado Department of Early Childhood as an early intervention evaluations provider. And what that means is that if a physician or a parent or someone in the life of a baby under the age of 3 has a concern about that child's development, maybe the concern is that they're not sure if the baby's talking on time or walking on time, anything like that, then a referral can be made to one of our state office of early childhood, and that referral will come to us, and then we will evaluate that baby based on norms of development. And if that child is determined eligible for services, then we will provide whatever service that child needs at no cost to the family. So a lot of times that means we're paying a speech language pathologist or an occupational therapist or a physical therapist, and there's a large number of allowable services that we can pay for and provide. But we're sending those people into the child's home or natural environment, so it could be at the child care center as well, to work with the child and the adults in that child's life or siblings in that child's life to help elicit the growth and development with that child.
That's great, because like what I'm getting is that other organizations may make the client pay for that, and that might be pretty prohibitive, right?
Sometimes, yes.
Okay.
Like if you go to maybe a clinic-based service delivery system for those therapies, then the person is person receiving that service is responsible for paying for it. But if you're in our program, our early intervention program, then the state has melded together a bunch of different funding sources to enable us to pay for it on
That's
their
so
behalf.
Cool.
Yeah, and what it does is it narrows the gap of development, so that child, by the time that child gets to school, that child, I forget the percentage of children who no longer qualify or who don't qualify for special education services after mm-hmm. going through our services. There's like 60%, I wouldn't say 60%, but that might be an outdated number.
Okay.
So it's actually saving taxpayer dollars.
That's so cool.
And you had told me that you often get referrals from doctors.
Physicians, clinics, doctors, family members. You know, a lot of times after holidays, families will get together and someone in the family might say something to a parent and be like, maybe you got to get that checked out, sort of thing. So
right.
we often get them from a variety of referral
And one of the things I know you had mentioned during the interview is still about the stigma about seeking out services. Mm-hmm. And so that is, you make it as, from what I understood from when we talked, is you make it as easy as possible to welcome a family in.
Absolutely, yeah. We definitely want to get away from any stigma related to an old theory of thought in regards to, you know, development and a person's responsibility for that, as opposed to just accepting a family and a person where they are in their lives and what they need and what they want.
So, for our listeners, you are tuned into Everything Under the Sun, the Sopra Sun's weekly radio program right here on KDNK. We are speaking with Mountain Valley Developmental Services Executive Director Sarah Sims, as well as the Greenhouse Manager Hollis Vanderlinden. Thank you so much both for being here today.
Thank you.
We appreciate your time. And I think it's really exceptional, quite something that you're working with all age spectrums, from babies, and I think in Jeannie's article she mentions 78 years old, mm-hmm. I think might be your eldest client. And it's so neat because in the title of the article, I think, really speaks to it. Mountain Valley Developmental Services empowers personal growth. You're working with people with disabilities to plug them into the community because they're participating members of the community as well. And I know that, like, you have two locations, the Weaving Shop, which is awesome, and also the Greenhouse, where you're providing employment. But are you also guiding people who are searching for employment elsewhere?
Absolutely. We have a very robust support employment program, and we have people in jobs up and down this valley, as well as in all the counties we support. And I'm looking at Hollis trying to help ask her with my eyes to give me some of the places we have people employed.
Tractor Supply, Lowe's, Care, are just the three that pop in my head immediately, but I know there's a lot more.
So our job coaches, they actually work with a person to identify what their interests are, and then that job coach continues to work with the person to try and develop skills and look for places to apply those skills in a community job setting, and then continues to work with that person after the job is secured to help, like I said earlier, hone in some of those skills. And currently we are looking for additional job coaches because we have a lot of people who want to be working and have skills enough to be working.
Is that a paid position, may I ask?
Absolutely.
I'm not like a... I do have a job.
No.
That's so cool. And I also love the volunteer aspect. And I want just... I'll give it now. But for folks, again, who are interested in volunteering, you can call 970-945-2306 or also go to www.mtnvalley.org and find more information there. Yeah, so what gravitated the both of you, may I ask this personally, to the Valley and to Mountain Valley Developmental Services?
Well, I've been at Mountain Valley for over 27 years, so I can't really remember a whole lot of what drove me there. But I knew going in that what I was applying to do would make me a better person, and that's really kind of the draw. And I had no idea the depth and breadth of the work that Mountain Valley had been doing before I got there. And it took me a lot of those 27 years to figure out all the things that we've done and all the people's lives who we've touched. I was fortunate enough last year, as we were celebrating our 50th year, to really get in touch with a lot of former employees, some of the people who started, some of the parent group who started Mountain Valley in 1973, and just various people in the community who are regular patrons of the store, the Weaving Store, or the Greenhouse, and just to hear how impactful we have been to so many people in so many different ways. So that was really nice.
Go ahead, Hollis.
Okay, yeah, I came to the Valley a few years ago as an apprentice at Rock Bottom Ranch, and then pretty soon after that apprenticeship ended, I found this position. And it was kind of a weird melding of things that I've done before in my life. I have a sister with disabilities, so I just I love spending time with people with disabilities. I feel like there's an ease and acceptance of each other as we are, and that's just something that I really enjoy. And then the growing aspect, obviously, growing veggies, and then I got to learn a lot about growing flowers there too. And so just being able to be a part of the community here in a way that's so important to me, or many ways that it's so important to me, it's the best job I've ever had, I think. So
that's fantastic.
Do you want to talk a little bit about the what used to be Art on 8th, the Minnesota Valley Weavers?
Sure. So, it was I believe the doors opened in 1996, the same year I started. We actually opened the storefront called Mountain Valley Weavers at the time. It was called that. And the program had previously not had a storefront, but was located in our main agency, where we just made the products. We had a lot of people who were interested in weaving, and those weaving products we would then take to some of the community fairs, and we would sell it that way. And so we, over time, just amassed so many products that we needed another outlet for it. And fortunately, we were a benefactor of seed money for the weaving program by a family of an individual who we were supporting. And so with that seed money, we were able to purchase property in downtown Glenwood Springs, and I believe we leveled that old building and rebuilt a beautiful, magnificent building that where we continue to have the weaving products being sold. The evolution of the weaving store is that I think it was around 10, 11 years ago, we changed the business model from just weaving products to also a consignment store for specialized textile art gifts. And so we contracted with a lot of artists in the area to sell their products for them. And that was a nice change. And then just recently, over this winter, we again changed our business model there, where we are renting out our gallery space where the textile arts and gifts were being sold earlier to the Blue Door Boutique. And so we're excited to have our partnership with Don Cleveland there. Upstairs of that same shop, of the weaving store, we are still selling and making our weaving products. So we are still there. It just looks, our storefront looks a little bit different, but everyone is welcome to come in and look not only at the items for sale by the Blue Door Boutique, but also by our Mountain Valley Weavers upstairs.
Yeah, I was able to, Skog, mm-hmm. Who works at the offices. She took me over there and gave me a little tour. Melissa DeHaan is the one who runs the weaving program, and the work is fantastic. I mean, like we were saying, you know, you can buy a hand towel that will last you 30 years because that the quality of the work is pretty amazing. And she said that she has a woman she works with, Mary Worthington, who actually like stitches it into like bags, and there's even shawls. So they have 8 looms, and she let me sit down and do a couple of lines on the loom. And I'm like, yeah, I can see how once you get it in your brain, like how to work it, and the repetition, I think, is very meditative. Yeah. It's just the work there is amazing. And I know there are tags on the work. It's all for sale. And it has the name of the weaver on it. And so she told me a story about Tyler had woven a shawl, and the woman wanted to come in and show off the shawl. So she goes, Tyler, look at what I'm wearing. This is a shawl you made, and that they are so proud of the work that they do. So that's another wonderful program that you have.
Thank you. Yes, it does give a lot of pride to the people who are making those products, and it's Cindy Workington who's our finisher.
Oh yes, Yes. Thank you.
We are slowly coming out of time. Do you guys have anything else to add?
We're seeking volunteers.
Yes, so I would love to have some volunteers come help out at the greenhouse. I could have drop-in volunteers helping with plant care, but we really do need people on April 26th and 27th to help us finish with that accessible raised beds.
Fantastic. And Hollis, I actually remember seeing you maybe a year or two ago. It was at a event with the Ark over at Two Rivers Park.
Oh,
and
yes.
You were with David. And yeah. I love David because I've grown up knowing David since mm-hmm. I was a little kid.
I love hearing old stories about David.
Yeah, he's the best.
He's one of my employees at the greenhouse.
Oh, fantastic. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I bet he's great.
He's
over
wonderful.
There. He used to be in Carbondale, and mm-hmm. I used to see him all the time at the mm-hmm. co-op, which I loved. But well, we really appreciate you guys joining us today. For our listeners, there is a long article on page 12. It's because there's a lot of information, including some changes happening in terms of case management that I know is really big and we didn't get into today. But I encourage people to check out page 12 of this week's Oprah Sun to learn more. And if you know someone with developmental disabilities who would like to be involved, you could certainly get in touch. But also, if you would like to volunteer, it's a wonderful program, nonprofit.
They take donations.
And it sounds like and they take donations. And it also just sounds like a really lovely place to hang out and volunteer and socialize. So you can call 970-945-2306 or go to mtnvalley.org. Thank you both so much for joining us. And before we sign off today, I just want to say thank you. And we should also thank you to Katie and Kay, who's doing their membership drive right now. Thank you for opening up the airwaves so we could highlight these wonderful organizations. And so the Oprah Sun can come in here and talk about the paper once a week. Thank you, Katie and Kay. And thank you, Hollis. And thank you, Sarah.
Thank you.